It was a 90-foot fall.
In quite an enclosed area. Yeah. And David had come along to be my support, really.
Yeah, I was Tina's backup in case Tina decided to back out.
And you wanted to put the wig on.
And I went up and I looked down, I went,
I don't want to do this.
Please don't back out, Tia. I'm not quite ready for this.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. Right, today we've got two delightful human beings on the show, a married couple of stunt coordinators, Dave Foreman and Tina Maskell. You'll hear about their careers, the stunts that made them question their sanity, the difference between falling into airbags and falling in love, and finally, what it's like to set your spouse on fire. All right, that's enough intro. Here's our interview with Tina and Dave. Hope you enjoy. Brilliant. So thanks for joining us today. Do you mind give us your name and how long you've been involved in the stunt industry, both of you, please?
Look, this is Tina. this is Tina Maskell. And I'm her other half, Dave Foreman. We've both been on the stunt register since 1985.
Something like that.
Well, I was a year before you, wasn't I? I beat you to the pit. Yeah.
The competitive spirit.
I trained harder. That's all it was.
Yeah.
I trained
harder. I'm the lazy harder. One of the group.
And Tina came a year later.
Yeah, brilliant. And when did you guys meet? Did you meet on the job?
We met on a film called Greystoke, which was Tarzan, Lord of the Apes.
Right, okay.
We spent a year being chimps.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
So there were apes. They were great apes.
Great apes.
So you worked with chimps.
We worked with chimps.
They were great apes.
So, and you got to study the animals and copy, and you were in an ape outfit?
Yeah, well, they wanted physical people to leap around the trees and do all the stunts for the apes, and we were cast for that role.
And that's where the romance... So you saw Dave in a monkey suit and thought,
the other way around.
Didn't quite work like that.
I was the female with the big bottom.
Right.
A female in estrus, they have this huge pink bottom, which got chased around. For a year.
It's not how I saw it.
But it was a meeting, a friendship.
That's how the Sun and the News of the World wrote it.
They wrote it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
We met on Greystoke and Tina was in season and la-di-da, la-di-da. And I came down from the trees and gave her all that and that was it. And so we're off.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we spent 10 months together on that film.
And became friends, really, didn't we?
Yeah, and that's how we met. We met as chimps, apes.
Nice, perfect.
Yeah, great apes. Yeah.
Brilliant, great start to a relationship.
Yeah, it was, and a great film, Great start to our careers as well.
Yeah, it was the first ever job for both of us in the industry.
So. Oh, was it really?
Yeah, we weren't on the stunt register then, but that gave us the inspiration to train for the register.
Right. And what physical skills have you guys had that brought you to that point where they were like, we'd like you to play these, did they find you?
Gymnastics. Gymnastics was our background,
We both did competitive. Competitive.
Both competitive gymnasts.
Dave at a much higher level than myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to say it. Yeah, well done, Tina. Well done.
You're welcome.
But we were both ex-gymnasts. Okay. I was in the British tumbling team and Tina was a...
County gymnast.
Hey, more than I could ever dream of. Now, when you started doing the register, what were your other qualifications that you went for?
Well, gymnastics naturally progressed to trampolining and high diving and then
martial arts,
fencing. And interestingly, Weightlifting was one of the qualifications, which luckily
was
around then. So that was a good course.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, very easy course to do. But yeah, there were qualifications.
And so it's pretty much the same for you, Tina, was that?
Yeah, we're more or less on the same route, really.
You did scuba diving, didn't you? Yeah.
November in the icy waters.
But they're all, it's a great system. Mm. And really, they're just your basic qualifications that say that you're physical and you can adapt and you can do a full range of different qualifications. And then your real training starts when you come on the register, hence the probationary intermediate period. Oh, yeah, right. Your learning starts when you come on the register.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people are actually really happy staying on the performing level. Some people never want to coordinate. They just don't seem to have that in them.
Right.
Others sort of work their way through, and you can see it, that hunger from an early start. You know, they want it, and they'll work their way through the system.
But it's a great system, yeah.
So do you mind just touching on some of the other early roles that you did? I mean, Dave, am I right in saying that you were a Ninja Turtle?
Well, you are correct, yes.
Which one?
Leonardo.
Oh, you was Leonardo.
Yes. I spent 10 years with Jim Henson, the Muppet people, before I became a stunt. Well, during, it was a dual job. So I worked for Jim Henson and I did films like Ninja Turtles. I was known as the Bear Man as well. So I did the John West Salmon.
The John West Salmon advert where the bear gets slapped. Fighting, he slaps the bear. Isn't that amazing?
I played polar bears, panda bears, brown bears and all sorts of bears.
Famous bears.
So you've always been able to turn your physical capabilities into mimicking animals, basically.
Exactly, yeah. And then that evolved from Greystoke. And then I did fantasy. So then I went into Leonardo, Dino in the Flintstones, the Rock Baby in Neverending Story. And Tina then was also a creature performer as well. She did Willow, didn't you, Tina?
Yeah.
Did Willow
did the same
and
penguins.
You were she was the Hofmeister Budweiss. Bear. Do you remember the Hofmeister Bear?
No, go on.
Yeah. It was this bear that used to drink beer and then walk on his hands on the bar. I don't know if no one else remembers it. That's how old we are.
The old ones.
So that was like our careers. Well, we started with creatures and animals, and I was acting as well. So I was like,
you were doing theatre.
Yeah, I was doing theatre and I was acting. So I wasn't quite sure which direction I was going within the industry. And then, it was sort of decided for me because visual effects sort of took away the creature work. And then so slowly I evolved into stunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tina was stunting more than myself at the time.
You were doing Cats in Vienna.
Yeah.
The theatre show. And I was doing Supergran for a year. So we were in different parts of the world, but having this long distance relationship. So it was kind of it was tough in the early days.
I was going to say, how have you managed, because obviously you've been together for a long time, and how have you managed to, have you found that as a couple, both being in the industry, going to different places?
It has its good times and its bad times. I mean, it's tough with you as a family.
It's
living
all been good for me.
Of course it has. Dave has all the exotic locations like Japan,
great.
China.
It's been fantastic.
Out back somewhere, but
Tina moans a lot, but
I'm the one left at home dealing with the family
and the dogs,
two kids and the dogs, and working.
I know.
Just mentioned the family. I believe you've got a stunty in trail.
Yeah, she's on the
qualified
now.
Yeah. Young Josie, your daughter.
Exactly.
And how long has she been on for?
She qualified in November.
She's quite new.
She's doing all right.
And were you guys both happy for her to get in the stunt industry?
Yeah, no, she's really enjoying it. She's settling in quite nicely.
And was there a moment when you had kids for the first time when you thought, like, oh, man, this is, like, well, this is crazy. I have a kid. Like, was there any of that?
No, if you thought like that, I don't think you'd do the job.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, I was working and I shouldn't say this, but I will. A Mr. Bean sketch. And I was pregnant with Jack.
Yeah. Okay. We don't advocate this.
No, this was in very early stages.
Yes. I don't think anyone would mind that.
And certainly I'd say no to Josie.
Right.
But, I'd been set on fire in the early... I think there's a few...
You were pregnant and set on fire.
Yes, I had...
I love it.
I know, it's very naughty. Very naughty of me. But, I think I did a high fall. Various, but only in the very early stages of pregnancy. I did a car jump into a lake with Roy Alon, one of our elderly stuntmen who's passed away now, one of our brilliant stuntmen.
Yeah.
And we jumped a car into a lake off a jetty, and it was ice cold, snow on the ground, and we we came up and we got out. Everything was fine. And he said, was that all right for you? I said, yeah, but there were three of us in that car. was like,
you didn't even tell him.
No.
Oh, amazing.
It was very early on, so
that's amazing. That's yeah. a great. That's a very.
And we've
great...
juggled it between us, haven't we? Mm. One's at home, the other one's working. Yeah. We did a bit of flexi boarding with both of them.
They travelled with us wherever we went. Yeah, yeah, they got to go to Hollywood and. Yeah, hey, came with it's a good life.
Not that bad, is
yeah,
it?
It's not that bad.
Brilliant. And as your careers went on, can you name some specific stunts where you felt you were tested quite a lot, and not only just with the skill, the requirement, but it actually scared you? That, you know, any ones that you can think of?
You got one?
Have you got
She's
one?
Never scared. She's never scared. She's a tough
I am old. As I'm getting older.
She's a tough old bird.
Tough old bird, yeah. I think when I did the jump off the Houses of Parliament, which was for House of Cards, the final scene where she gets pushed off the top of the Houses of Parliament.
This is the original House of Cards with Ian Richardson.
Yeah, the BBC one. It was a 90-foot fall.
In quite an enclosed area. Yeah. And David had come along to be my support, really.
Yeah, I was Tina's backup in case Tina decided to back out.
And you only put the wig on.
And I went exactly. up and I looked down. I went,
I don't want to do this.
Please don't back out, Tina. I'm not quite ready for this. Yeah. Tina had all the prep, you see. She'd done all the warm ups and the rehearsals, and I thought, please don't back out. I don't think I could jump. I do this jump cold.
Just like, 90
it's a long way. 90 yeah. feet.
Honestly, Tina, you must be up there in world record holder for the highest female stunt fall.
Back then,
in those days, there are some coming up late 80s.
But still, again, high falls like that don't come up.
They don't come
often.
Up very
in
often,
those
no.
days, I mean, I was doing them all the time. Once you've done one, they go, "Oh, she's good. We'll call again." And you think, "Oh no, not me! Please call someone else, please." But so I got known as a high faller in the early days.
What was that onto that fall?
Airbag.
Airbag.
That was that was royal.
Is there? I've not asked anybody else. Do you have a preference as to what you fall onto? But airbag or cardboard boxes, or is there a
from 90 feet? I think a nice soft airbag right. would be nice. Yeah, 100 foot plus. From 50 feet, 60 feet, then boxes are quite good. Yeah,
they both come with the inherent risks of each. Really.
Yeah.
Boxes, if you have an accident going into it, it takes 10 people 15 minutes to get to you because you're buried amongst 15 layers of boxes.
Yeah.
Whereas airbag, if you hit it wrong, then you can break bones.
I've hit airbags wrong, and you still damage yourself.
You've dislocated shoulders.
Yeah. I've dislocated shoulders hitting them incorrectly. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had bad whiplash from an airbag.
Yeah.
And Tina, you've been in an airbag with high heels, haven't you, darling?
Yes. Yeah. I just put the heel through it. Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
As you landed.
Yeah.
Slightly over-rotating. Really? Yeah.
She was safe, but the bag wasn't.
But it's funny enough, the difference in, the stunt girls and the stunt boys, how lucky we get away with costumes. Long sleeve, long trousers, you're always in skirts, you're always in vests. There's normally never a chance for knee pads or elbow pads.
No, with the girls.
Great example with the high heels, that difficult. Always makes things more difficult. And, I think us guys sort of underestimate that.
I've jumped with Lucy. Lucy and I did one together, holding hands.
Yeah.
Into a big rig.
Is it into the quarry? Was that one?
Yes.
That's the quarry one,
So, Dave, you obviously, I worked with you and yourself as well. Golden Compass, we had
the day.
I remember you doing the polar bear skin. Pretty, again, amazing bear impression, but you had to run through the crowd of stunt boys, throwing them around, and they had to react to you.
Yeah.
That was really good fun, that sequence. But can you tell us some of the other films that you worked on?
I think when I questioned my sanity, I think it was Christmas. I was doing a film called Daylight, Sylvester Stallone, and it was the scene where the gang had stolen the diamonds and they were going through the tunnel, and they dropped the diamonds in the back, and they lost control of the car, and the car goes off a pipe ramp and it goes up the side of the tunnel, hits a guard box and smashes through it and explodes into the back of a truck. And that's what started the whole big explosion and the collapse of the tunnel on Daylight. And I was asked to play the guard in the box as Dickie Bear got to drive the car 50K up a pipe ramp and then hit the guard box, but I had to dive just before the car, alongside as the car hit the guard box. And that day I did question my sanity. I go,
Were you taking your own time on that day?
I was taking my own time on that.
Really? No one was calling you either?
No one was calling me. I was taking my own time on that. And so you... when you see the picture of it, you'll see the car and then you'll see me diving underneath it here. So you'll catch me here and the car here.
Wow.
I don't think they need to do that these days. I think they can do... Because the director came up to me afterwards and says, oh, everyone's going to think that's a visual shot. But it wasn't done that for real. But that was really my... probably a stunt where I questioned my sanity. Yeah.
But speaking to
when you were questioning your sanity, like when you come down from questioning your sanity like the next day, like what is it about it that you just love and would never stop
well, you? Well, I wanted to do that stunt. Right. I put my hand up and I went, I want that stunt.
You offered yourself
that's
up.
That's mine.
Yeah.
And then I retracted a little bit.
Speaking of that, but questioning yourself, have you ever turned a stunt down, either of you?
I've only ever turned one down, which was to be covered in bumblebees, or bees, not honeybees.
I don't think that's a stunt.
Well,
that's just...
They asked me, would you be covered in bees from head to toe and then be chased down the road and fall over? I said, no, sorry. Yeah. Bees are not for me. Yeah. So that's my no-no.
I think the only time you turn a stunt down is if you feel you're not capable of doing that stunt.
You certainly wouldn't do something...
That's what we advocate to all performers coming through, that you just don't do something you don't think you're...
Under pressure.
Yeah, under pressure, that you don't think you're capable of doing.
Do you apply those same rules when you're asking people as coordinators now, both of you? You know, would you ask someone to do a stunt that you wouldn't have done yourself?
I would ask them and question them about it and then explain the levels of, you know, the stunt.
It's within their capabilities.
And if it's yes, and sometimes most people are honest and say, well, actually, it's not for me.
Yeah. It's not your thing.
And I think we all know it's a network. Yeah. We all know each other. We know each other as performers and who you can trust. And it's a big family network. So we kind of, you put the feelers out. And, you know, and I always say to youngsters, especially having Josie on now, if in any doubt, ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't just say, yes, I'll do it. Ask your questions. You can always come back and think about it. Go away and think about it, come back.
Yeah.
You know, so they're kind of... It's finding a balance with it, really.
I don't say that to Tina because I need more tiles and I need more televisions in the house. Go out, fall down those stairs, come back, bring me the money.
Yeah.
Do you mind listing off some of the people that you've doubled over the years?
My ladies are sort of people like... Judy Dench, Julie Waters, Imelda Staunton, Brenda Blethyn, Miriam Margolis, that sort of, Caroline Quentin. They're kind of the little short character actors. And I've done a lot of comedy as well, which has been fantastic. Dawn French.
Good at comedy. Did you do Vicar of Dibley?
Yeah.
I love that.
But that was Dawn, I have to say. Dawn going into the puddle, she did that herself. I get asked all the time, is that you going into that puddle? Like, no.
Brilliant.
It's Dawn.
So have you both done a fire job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both been knocked over by a car?
Yep.
Yeah. You more so than me. Yeah. It's because of my driving. He's really bad, actually.
Have you ever run Dave over because he's upset you?
No. I've actually set him on fire and I said, behave yourself because I won't put you out.
Oh, brilliant.
We rarely work together, actually, me and T. We're not the best together.
And you're both on the Potters, or was it just yourself?
Tina. I did a couple of days on it.
I was very insulted, actually, because David came on for... He came on for about 2 or 3 days and got chosen for the close-ups.
And Tina, we mentioned earlier with how yourself, Lucy, and some of the stunt girls, how they've really established that, you know, you're as good, if not better, than the stunt boys. And I just want to take this opportunity to say, you know, our industry wouldn't be as good or the same without all of you. So, you know, it's women like you that, you know, set the standard. So
thank
I just want to say thanks for that.
Thank you.
Paving the way for all the other girls and your own daughter, you know? Like, are you proud of your involvement and the efforts you've done?
Yeah, I think for me coming onto the register, I think there were probably 6 women when I came onto the register. So we had a learning, you know, it was a good learning curve for us and we the opportunities were there, it's much more difficult for the youngsters coming on now because there are so many of them.
So you had to fight for... Because they would use a lot of
guys
to do the car stuff and put a wig on. Yeah. I think sometimes you have to fight your corner and go, listen, some of us girls are just as good as you guys and there's no need for a guy to put a wig on, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
There were just so few of us in those days.
And then when Tina's doing high falls at 90 feet, there's a lot of guys that wouldn't
do that. Wouldn't touch absolutely, that.
Hats off to the girls. Did.
And have you ever had a conversation at home between the pair of you and watched the other one go to work in the morning and been nervous for your part and for each other? You know, knowing what they're going to do that day?
Yeah, back in the day, when Tina was doing 90-foot falls and stuff. Yeah, you was always like...
Crossing fingers and toes at home.
Call me, please. Call me, please.
Or Dave would just turn up and he'd been, I don't know, on the bond or something and he'd got... Was it... When did you get burnt?
I got burnt a few times, but...
I just remember him coming up with bandages.
Last Samurai I got burnt. The natural elements like burns, water, you know, they're the ones that will get you, you know.
Sometimes it's the little jobs, you know, that catch you out. You know, you can be doing something, I don't know, like tripping up and falling over and it just, you know... on rocks or, you know, it could be something that catches
that little
you
little stone
out.
On yeah, the kneecap. Yeah.
You shouldn't have got it, yeah. I mean, there's been... You know, some of the, which I would have thought were going to be the simplest of jobs, have turned out to be much more difficult because you're repeating it over and over, or it's with dialogue and, you know, not coming from that kind of background, coming in at the right moments and getting your lines, giving you, don't give me any lines.
So just carrying on like, you, as your careers have progressed and you've both travelled on, you've become stunt coordinators and full members, either of you got any regrets over the years, like the amount of time that maybe it's taken you away from raising the kids or from each other or a job that you missed out on or even a stunt that you would have liked to have done that you've seen someone else do?
I think generally in life, I think as you get older, I think your regrets might be that you didn't do certain things.
When
you were younger, because as you get older, you become a little bit more incapable of doing those stunts. So, you know, there's stuff there that I would have liked to have done more of, but it's time, isn't it? I think everyone, you know, generally looks back on their lives and they go, yes, I would like to have done parachuting. I would like to have free-falled and, you know...
Not for me. I'm happy.
Tina's content. Yeah,
I'm all right.
You jumped without the parachute, Tina. It's all right.
Exactly.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I've had a really good career.
It's not for us. Our lives. It's not all about the industry.
Family is what we've.
Yeah, and you know, we all
first have, finding a good balance.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about stuntmen? About something about the world that people might think that they're either wrong about or something that you thought before you did it that you were surprised by being the case or not?
I think maybe general public have this preconceived concept that stuntmen are daredevils. So we're all evil Knievels and we all put our lives on the line every day. But actually stunts is a very calculated... a job. The first question would be, what's your most dangerous stunt? You know, it's like, do you jump buses? You know,
are you superhuman?
Yeah, exactly. It's like
I used to have that drunk in a bar. Oh, you're a stuntman. Yeah. Roll down the stairs.
Yeah.
Thing is, though, Dave, you introduced yourself as a stuntman.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I probably went down the stairs. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I also find that they think, oh, that looks so easy. I could do that. Is what you get from everyone sometimes, isn't it?
So you've never got to beat each other up on camera yet?
Not yet, no.
Only your home movies.
The opportunity
yeah.
hoping
yeah.
for.
No. We rarely work together, do we?
It's quite strange, actually, working for Dave.
It's only because we our paths just don't cross.
Yeah.
You know, we're just
and one, one's at home, one's doing, you know, the family and the other one's away.
There's that.
I believe all stunts are show-offs. But, you know, naturally. Would you agree with that opinion?
I think there's the child in us. I think it's more about being able to be a child and do those naughty things and enjoy the things that you probably were told not to do as a child.
Yeah.
I think all of us, if you talk to any stunt people, have got that. Mm. Oh, I used to climb the trees. I was the one on top of the roof, you know,
yeah.
doing the things that I shouldn't have been doing. And most of us have that in us.
So were you both quite difficult for your own parents when you were younger, near-death experiences and taking unnecessary risks?
I was always climbing things with the boys. If the boys got to the roof, I wanted to be on the roof. So I kind of followed suit.
Yeah.
A bit of a tomboy, I suppose. I don't know about you. Dedicated to your gymnastics.
Yeah, I was dedicated. Yeah, I was hardworking, dedicated. Yeah, I think being an exhibitionist is part of our job.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're here for. You can't be shy in front of a camera.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to show. You got to be able to show off your talent as well. But you got to know how to show that talent off in a mature way and not a childish way.
Well, the way that I used to do it. I love that.
No one said that was a real
sub. Just from the eyes, I was like, yeah, I was a mob. I was a knob, don't worry. So I can accept it.
Yeah, but you were great. You were
yeah,
fine.
And it's like, I think everyone wants to show what they can do.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to pick your time and your moment to do that.
Yeah.
So there's no point coming up to me as a young, new performer and start...
Tricking
in front of me, going, look what I can do, because I'll be going out that door.
I think I've got that reaction from you many a time now. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, so there's a time and a place for everything, and being a little bit humble and a little bit modest is a good thing as well as being a show-off when you need to.
But stunts and the nature of the beast, though, do you mind listing off a few of the injuries that you both picked up?
One broken collarbone.
Yeah.
That's me done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Go away with
that's 6 years. That's not bad.
Well done.
Yeah.
What collarbone?
Or maybe a finger.
Oh, she's done well.
Yeah.
Mine, dislocated shoulder twice, this one. Burns. I've had 2-3 burns. They're nasty.
Oh, I did. Yes, I just remembered.
Oh, you've been burnt, haven't you, darling? Yeah. And fingers. Nothing major. Not like Derek Lee. Nothing where I've been totally smashed up. I mean... I've been run over by horses quite a few times, and lucky I came out of those.
What, being underneath a ton of meat trampled on my head.
Yeah, so I've been lucky. We've had lots of knocks and bruises, and we're sort of feeling it now.
Yeah.
You know, the bones are starting to creak and grind.
Were there any action films or action stars that you watched growing up that you particularly enjoyed, or like moments or stunts that you saw and go, that looks cool, I want to do that?
This is more down to you, this one.
Is it? Really? Oh, God, pressure question.
That's interesting in itself, too, that there wasn't something you weren't a big action movie fan growing up for.
No. Yeah, I'm still not,
really.
That's great.
Yeah, I wasn't really into... I always wanted to be a stuntman as a kid. Yeah, I always wanted to do that. I just didn't know how to go about it. But who do I look up to? I mean, as I grew up with films like Superman, Black and White Superman and Tarzan and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's just like... There wasn't one person that I went, oh, I want to emulate that person. I want to be that person, like Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee or Donnie Yen. It's like, I think it was just in me. I just wanted to be a stuntman. And I love shows like the old Buster Keatons and and Charlie Chaplin and all that, you know,
Buster Keaton's
Buster Keaton's really, you can make an argument for him being one of the first stuntmen,
aren't you? Yeah, absolutely. Him, Yakima Canute.
I think also, I've done a lot of comedy over the years, like The Only Fools and Horses and the Mr. Beans and the, you know, and I think, you know, a show like Only Fools, to be a part of it in the early days, for me, was like, wow. It was just so exciting, to be a part of that.
As a kid, I wanted to jump roofs, you know. I always went up on a roof and I go, right, okay, there's 10, 12 feet. I can do it. I can jump it. But then you thought, I'm going to get in such trouble for this if I jump this roof.
Yeah.
But now kids can do it, you know. It's like, I wanted to do that as a kid, but I held back because I knew it's so naughty to do that.
Yeah, madness, isn't it?
It's like madness, but I think that's just in you as a kid.
And then you found a way of making that your job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, later on in life. Yeah.
Thank you, Stunt Mum and Dad.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks again to Tina and Dave for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening to our second episode of Cunning Stunts. We'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, take care. Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.